Again, I use CFD number 4 for an example. We start with a projected generated students. We develop the amount of funds needed to fund modernization from the CFD. And finally, I could fit on this slide, some of them are pretty tight, the actual amount of funded capital projects that have taken place for CFD number 4 and show the remaining obligation for modernization. And again, it's noted at the bottom, the 6, and you account actual, estimated, and budgeted funding. This slide is just a summary of the modernization obligation by students, by dollars, and by average. This slide provides the obligation, the funding that has occurred, again, through fiscal year 18-19, and the remaining obligation, and I should say budgeted expenditures through 18-19. I apologize. This slide combines the obligations. I've taken the total cost of the unfunded new seat obligation, and I've added it to the unfunded modernization obligation to come up with an outstanding obligation as of June 30, 2019 for each of the CFDs. Before we look at what we need to start with access, I need to look at the balances that we have on hand. The top line, ending fund balance, June 30, 2017, was brought to the board in December of 2017 by Roxana Travers, the Capital Projects Financing and Reporting Manager, and each December she brings you the detailed information on each CFD and the ending fund balance. This next section is so-called projected through 6/30/2018. All of these numbers come from Roxana, and she will be bringing that finalized report to you again in December. The bottom section is the budgeted numbers for 18-19, and again, in December of 2019, she will bring you those actual figures. This slide takes the outstanding obligation, and I apologize for the different font sizes apparently, the outstanding obligation. It reduces it by the projected fund balance as of June 30, 2019, and shows you the CFDs and their remaining funding obligation. This is combined new construction obligation, modernization obligation, and it's been reduced by any fund balance. This is where I step into explaining for reminding us all about setting the tax rates. Taking the resolution to the board and having it adopted by the board is a requirement of the county. The deadline for application and resubmitting any rejected charges is August 10th, and therefore staff needs the resolution to be adopted on or before August 10th. The resolution has two purposes. It sets the maximum tax rate, and it sets the actual or applied tax rate. This may be a good point to stop and just to remind us all, I apologize, that when a dwelling unit is first classified as developed, and when a CFD is first formed and the initial tax rate is set, on an annual basis, the maximum tax rate goes up by the greater of an index or 2%. Once the property is classified as developed, that amount is fixed and it is only adjusted on an annual basis by a maximum of 2%. So that's how the maximum tax rate and the applied tax rate can be so different depending on the year that the property develops. These are a few facts about setting tax rates. It discusses the rate method of apportionment, which is the method by which the CFDs are administered, and the method by which the tax rates are indexed or adjusted, and the method by which we, as the administrators, apply the taxes. It repeats what I just stated, that after the initial year of taxation, taxable properties within the CRFD are subject to an adjustment. And it finishes explaining that at the time debt was issued, the district entered into a pledge agreement. It pledges the taxes of CFDs 1 through 15, although all of the CFDs pay for the debt. We just pledged just 1 through 15. This is a history of the applied special tax rates from 87 to 2012. The maximum rates were always the applied rates. In 2013, for the fiscal year 13-14, the board did not escalate the tax rates. So the maximum tax rates went up, but the actual tax rates were levied at less than the maximum, or 98.04%. In the 2 years following, to be applied for 14-15 and 15-16, again, the board established the maximum taxes at the maximum rate, but they adopted the applied tax rates at the 98% rate. I'm sorry, this gets so confusing and the math isn't exact. In 2016, the Community Facilities District Master Plan Project provided a financial statement for each CFD. This plan allowed a mechanism for the funding obligation of each CFD to be determined and allowed the analysis of setting the tax rates to be done on each CFD individually. So starting in August of 2016 for fiscal year 16-17 and last year July of 17 for 17-18, the board established the maximum special tax rates for all CFDs like they had done in all prior years. But for the individual CFDs, we reviewed each of them and established the applied tax rate in a different method. This summarizes that method. For the CFDs that had fully funded their new construction obligation, no indexing was applied. We have a parenthesis in there, no escalation. This category was only applied to CFD number 2 for both those years. For CFDs that had not fully funded their new construction obligation, we separated them into two groups. One being CFDs that had more than 80% of their projected dwelling units issued. We applied a 2% escalation, meaning that their taxes were at 98% again. And for CFDs that had not issued over 80% of their dwelling units, they were relatively new CFDs. We went ahead and increased them to 100% of the maximum level. This chart overviews the percentage of development, the remaining term of the special tax when it's known, if the new construction obligation had been funded, and if the modernization obligation had been funded. As you can see, CFD number 2 remains the only CFD that has funded its new construction obligation, and as we mentioned, the CFD is now complete. And the CFD new construction obligation was funded approximately 2 years before finishing the CFD. It was perfect. Staff recommendation for fiscal year 18-19 special taxes remain the same as they were for the prior 2 years. First category would be for CFDs that had fully funded their new construction obligation that no indexing would be applied. And we have no CFDs this year that will fall into that category, but we want to keep the classifications the same. And secondly, for CFDs that have not fully funded their new construction obligation, we want to apply a 2% escalator to the current tax rates as follows. This is a summary of the remaining CFDs listed out.